Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
And welcome to church this morning. It's Australia Day weekend. Isn't it great to pray for our nation at church? Man, you've walked into a church. We're here on a mission. We believe in Australia for Christ, along with our movement. And so here in the Redlands, we believe in Redlands for Christ. And I love that we can acknowledge that and believe for that together. I also know that there's a sausage sizzle going on. And I didn't get there between services, so I promised not to preach too long so we can all eat together. I'm kind of joking, kind of not. Hey, my name is Josiah. I'm one of the youth and young adult pastors here, and I'm not the senior pastor. Our senior pastors are just on a week's holiday. They'll be back with us next week. But I am very excited to be continuing / completing a series that we've been in over the month of January called The Seed and the Harvest. The Seed and the Harvest. Maybe you're just back from holidays and you've missed this series so far. I do encourage you to jump onto the Beacon podcast and check out these messages. Last week's will be uploaded this week when Az gets back, because he's great and skilled and does that for us. And so he'll do that when he's back from holiday. But jump in, because it's been a really powerful series as we look at what is actually a theme all across the scriptures, all across the Bible, this theme of planting, of sowing and reaping, the seed and the harvest. It's not just like a one verse that we've cherry-picked to make a series. This is a theme that we see over and over again. What you sow, you will reap. We saw this, this is highlighted, I guess, in Galatians chapter 6. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will also of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." We've kicked off 2026 with this series on the seed and the harvest. In fact, in the first week of this series, Pastor Az shared with us, everyone in this room, all of us, has in our hand what you need for 2026. It just might be in seed form right now. And sometimes we fall into the trap of comparing our seed to someone else's fully grown tree, and we use the comparison to write off the very thing that God's given us. And this year we're called, don't compare your seed to someone else's tree. We're called to get to work with the thing that God's given us. We'll look the next week at the story of a man named Zerubbabel, who had a massive mission ahead of him to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed in Jerusalem. And in order to do that, he had to get his priorities aligned. He had to get his priorities in the right order. He began with a sacrifice to God. He came in, "God, I'm giving you this first." Then he built the foundation of the temple, the foundation of worship for the nation. In 2026, we've been called to consider, what's the area we need to maybe lay before God? Sacrifice something this year that we've maybe never gone there before. Maybe it's something of our time that we've never given. Perhaps sacrifice does look like financial contribution. I don't know what the sacrifice is for you, but we're called to bring something to God and get the area of worship established as a foundation in our life, that this year would be a people that worships the Lord. Finally, last week, I loved the message last week. In fact, I think it gave an answer for many of us that maybe you've had frustration in life where you felt like you were pouring in all the right things into your life, but you weren't seeing the harvest. And Pastor Az shared from two passages in the Old Testament that speak about agricultural practices where God warned the people, don't sow two different types of seed into one field. See, when two different types of seed are planted in the same field, it produces corruption and they choke each other out and you don't get the harvest that you're wanting. And I know I sat in the service last week thinking about times in my life where I thought, man, I'm doing the right thing. I'm investing, I'm sowing into it. But I thought of times where I also was doing the opposite. I was doing the things I knew I shouldn't have been doing. And no wonder I didn't see the fruit that I was after. If you plant two types of seed into one field, it produces the corruption, not the harvest. And maybe last week, like me, you sat there and it almost like shone a light, gave answers to a season you haven't been able to understand before. We've got to make sure that we're not planting two seeds that are opposite in the one field. So this morning, I get to continue and I'm going to look at another agricultural passage, this time from the New Testament. So if you've got your Bible, you can get prepared. I'll get there in a minute to the Gospel of Luke. See, I want us to think for a moment. What needs to be done with the seed that God's given us? Like there's no point walking around showing off the seed God's given you. You'll never get the harvest. The goal is not to show everyone the seed that God's put in your hand. It's to actually plant the seed. If the seed is going to become a harvest, it needs to be sown. It needs to be planted. And today we're going to look at a passage in Luke chapter 8 where Jesus shares a parable, a story about what happens when you plant the seed. What are the options of what can happen when you plant the seed? If we want a harvest from the seed in our hand, it must be planted and sown. In another passage, Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." It's got to be planted. It's got to be planted. So this morning, we're going to look at what's known as the parable of the sower. In Luke chapter 8, in fact, this parable is such an important part of Jesus' teaching that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all recorded this parable, this story. So let's pick it up in Luke chapter 8, verses 4. "When a great multitude had gathered and they had come to Jesus from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Jesus shares this little story. He's got the attention of a large crowd from all different places. They've gathered to hear him speak, and he shares a story, a parable. This parable is not just a made-up story of something that may or may not have taken place. It's got a purpose. There's a meaning behind it. There's a deeper meaning. It's not just teaching farmers how to farm better. There's a meaning and application for our lives. And I love this particular passage because, much like the disciples, when I first heard it, I didn't get it. I didn't understand. I don't know enough about farming to get this. What are you trying to say, Jesus? Maybe you're the same this morning. It's okay. If you're like, man, seeds, fields, birds, I don't get it. The good thing about this story is that the disciples asked Jesus, "What did you mean?" And Jesus shares it, and they recorded that answer as well. In fact, it was a passage on the parable of the sower I used for my first ever Bible college assignment because I knew I couldn't get it wrong because Jesus told me what it meant. I don't think that's cheating. I just think that's literary context and it's a really helpful interpretation skill. So we're going to continue in Luke chapter 8 from verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are the ones who hear, but then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, but these have no root. Who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they've heard, they go out and they're choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, they keep it, and they bear fruit with patience. So Jesus is explaining this story. It's about four different sorts of fields, four different types of ground that the seed lands on. But more than just a farming principle, this is about four different types of heart that can either receive or not receive what God's trying to plant. Four different heart postures that all of us can have in different seasons of our life. Whether we receive the word or it doesn't take root in our life. It's a story about four fields. This morning is an invitation, not a judgment. This is not a moment of me standing on a platform judging where your heart's at today. Please know this message is for all of us, myself included, an invitation. At the beginning of 2026, would we have a heart check today? Would we come together and maybe be a little bit more vulnerable and assess our heart today? Where am I at, God? At this season of my life, what does my heart look like? Which field best represents my heart? This is the invitation today. See, the four fields are called this: the wayside, the rocky ground, the thorny ground, and the good soil. Here's the four fields. The different hearts you or I might have today, or at any moment, any season of our life. I want to actually ask today, because this is a heart check, I want to take a moment to corporately pray. I've written just a simple prayer that really I think is the response today. We can come and just give God, even if our heart, we got some work to do, just a moment of good soil. It says, God, whatever you want to do today, I'm ready. You can plant it in my life today. If you want to receive today, would you pray after me? Dear Lord, I want to hear from you today. Keep my heart open to you. You have permission to speak, to challenge, to correct, and to encourage. I want to see a harvest in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're ready then. I can hear it. The first field is the wayside. Let's look at the two verses that Jesus described the wayside. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. He explains, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, but then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. A few weeks ago, I sort of saw this in action. One of our youth leaders, she was singing this morning. Eliza had a birthday party, her 19th, invited some of us over. I was at her house talking to her dad, who used to be a teacher of mine in high school. We're out on his balcony chatting, and all of a sudden, this kookaburra lands on the balcony railing right next to where we're chatting. My old teacher, he calls to his wife, and she comes out with some food and begins hand-feeding this kookaburra. Which first time I've ever seen anything like it. It was pretty cool. Clearly it was normal for them though, right? They've trained this kookaburra, I guess. But there was another bird out in one of the trees in their backyard, watching on, and not as confident as the kookaburra, wouldn't fly up. And so, Eliza's mom begins to throw food out into the backyard. And the minute that this bird saw the food fly through the air, it left the tree, flew through the air and caught it midair. I was quite impressed. I've not seen someone work with birds like that. I felt like I was at Australia Zoo or something. Like, it was pretty impressive. This happened a few times. She'd throw the food, the bird would catch it in midair. The couple times she threw some food and maybe the bird wasn't watching, it noticed when it hit the ground and instantly swooped down, found it in the grass, ate it up and flew back to the tree. It's amazing how quickly a bird will find food when it's nearby. Like, it'll just swoop in. It gets it. And Jesus tells this story that the psalm that of the wayside, the field is the wayside that the birds, actually it's not just a literal bird, it's a spiritual thing.
It's like the devil comes and plucks away the very thing God's trying to do in your life before it's got time to take root. On the wayside, the birds come, they trample, they pluck it up. What does that look like in our life? Maybe you've been in church and at some point or another, offense has come. Maybe someone that you know we're in a connect group with, or someone in the church, or something happened, and the offense comes, and it's almost like now when God wants to speak because of the offense, it's like the enemy just has permission to steal it away before even God's word touches your heart. It's like the bird of offense just comes in, and before you even think, what does that mean for me? Does that apply to me? It's gone. Stuck in that place of offense, or maybe it was the seed of faith that came to your life to believe for healing or a miracle, something to take place in life, but the bird of a doctor's report that didn't sound good came in and it snatched away the very seed of faith that you believed you could be healed, but it's almost like that faith's gone in an instant. Let me remind you this morning, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So hear me right when I say this, that maybe the bird even looked and sounded like a family member, that you came and you shared something that you thought God was calling you to, but the response wasn't what you hoped it would be, and it snatched away the seed. Maybe the family member didn't even mean it, didn't even think, but the Spirit just seemed to take it away like a bird, stealing a seed of faith that could have been in your life. This wayside sort of field can find our way into any of our hearts. Birds just seem to be stealing the very things of God before they take root. In the Greek language, the word for wayside, it describes more of a pathway than a field. I'm not much of a farmer, not at all really, but I've driven near some farms. I've noticed there's a big difference between a cultivated field and the dirt road I drive on next to it. Like, that piece of land's growing and this is just dirt and gravel. The wayside's a little bit like the road next to the field. It probably has seed all through it at times, but it doesn't have the protection and the nurturing that the field gets. The farmer's job is to look after the land. But God doesn't want us just to be people who are nearby fruitful people. He wants to produce a harvest in all of our lives. He wants to produce something in your life. He's got a seed of faith for you that's going to grow and multiply. He's got more for you in this life than what you've seen so far. He's got seed he wants to multiply in your life, not just for the person next to you, in your life as well. The wayside is that place where, for whatever reason, it's like something just keeps seeming to snatch it away. When I realized how easy it is for this trap to come to any of our lives, it's like, man, how do we deal with that? So because I'm not a farmer, quickly Googled, what do farmers do to deal with birds? And Google's AI results came up very quickly. So there's three main strategies that farmers use. They use nets, they use noise that the birds don't like, they use scarecrows. I thought about those strategies, and as I read them, it was like God dropped in my heart straight away. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. See, the farmer's strategy to protect the crop is to guard it. Put nets up so the birds can't get in. To put noise things that the birds don't like to guard the crop. To put a scarecrow. This is not like Wizard of Oz where you need to find a brainless person to watch your life.
Yeah, it worked slightly better in the 8. It didn't work then either, really. Let's see. No, we can have other people that actually we can invite the right sort of person to say, hey, when you notice that it's like a bird is stealing away the very thing God's trying to do, would you tell me? Hey, there's a bird in your life right now stealing away. Remember last week you were telling me that you had a dream of what God would do in your life. Now today you're talking with hopelessness. What's happened? Let's shoo away that bird and get that seed of faith planted again. That's what people are for. It's when we're in the protection of the field, we're there for one another. I really love the idea of noise that the birds don't like. I think there's a nice metaphor there for us. What if we found ourselves in environments where the sound that came from our connect group was displeasing to the birds? That actually it would shoo away the doubts that are trying to steal from us. That we actually got people, maybe we're at a prayer meeting, praying and believing, lifting up a sound it's just shooing away birds in our life, trying to steal what God's got for us because we're standing together. The noise is unpleasant. We're putting on worship when the bird's like trying to steal it in your mind at home. I'm putting on worship. I'm reminding myself again of who God is, what he can do in my life. I'm putting a soundtrack on that's displeasing to the enemy. That's making sure that this seed that God's given me will be planted, will be sown, will produce a harvest. I think that's why being in church community is so important. Like in the community, like invested, involved, surrounded, not just next to, finding yourself in. It's the place of safety, protection, and nurturing. It's not just like how good it looks in a photo for something. This is the place for our life to be built in protection so that we can see the harvest of what God wants for our life. I believe it's our goal to protect our heart, to work on our heart, to guard our heart so that the environment is better for the seed, not the birds. We want our heart to be the right environment for the seed, not the birds that would steal it away. We need to guard our heart. The second field that Jesus speaks about is the rocky ground. So some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. I don't know what happens for you, but when I read these verses, it's actually like quite sad. Because what happens for me is it's like a screen plays with faces, people that I've known over the years. You know, I've been in this church, I think, 16 years or so. Think of my friends that I grew up in youth ministry with. That God produced something for a moment. They loved the Lord boldly and loudly for a moment. And then a temptation came, something came, and their faith withered away. And I look around the room and go, where are they now? See, I wonder, you've seen this, no doubt. Usually with people that I've seen in youth ministry, maybe it's the relationship with the wrong person. Just the temptation. I was loving Jesus, but all of a sudden this temptation came and now I pursued this. And I walked away from my faith. Maybe I've seen the job opportunity. That sounds like a really cool job, but it's always during the hours you used to be at church. You used to be at youth ministry. You used to be in your small group. You used to be in the things of God, but now the opportunity is taking you away. And there was no root to hold on, and the faith withers. So
The Bible teaches us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that God's not looking for people who would shoot up quickly and be impressive and wither. He's actually calling us to be a people who would demonstrate steadfastness, unshakable, consistent, persistent, that would continually overcome, that would demonstrate faithfulness, we'd endure the test of time, not to be a shoot that looks impressive, grows real quickly, but withers, to stand the test of time. Can you see the call God's got for each of us in our faith? To endure, to keep going. It's not a spotlight, one moment thing, it's a life. See, this second field is a warning, the rocky ground, about the areas of our heart that become hardened. Stones or rocks or hard places in our heart that actually prevent us from growing those deep roots. That might look like a whole number of things, but I think that rocky ground or a hard heart might sound like this. I love Jesus, but it's like, I love Jesus, but. And that but is just a reflection that there's something, there's a spot, there's a stone there, there's a hard place, maybe a wound or scar from a previous season, that an area of our life will say, God, anything but that area. It's a place that's hardened, that's resistant to what He might want to do in our lives. It might sound like, I love Jesus, but I could never forgive that person. I love Jesus, but I don't want to give up this part of my lifestyle. I love Jesus, but I can't be confident that He is real. I love Jesus, but someone close to me is in a homosexual relationship, so I don't know if I agree with his stance on marriage. I love Jesus, but I just enjoy having casual sex and doing it my way. It's just a reflection. Maybe there's a little stone in your heart, an area that's hardened that says, I don't want to submit that before God. I don't want to lay that down. It's uncomfortable. It might hurt. It's difficult. An area of our life that's difficult to surrender. What do we do this morning if our hearts have these rocky patches, these hardened areas? How do we deal with that? In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, there's a verse we actually heard from last week as well. It says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. It says, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Breaking up fallow ground is breaking up the hardened parts of your heart, the stony places, the difficult places. It's breaking it up. It's like tilling the soil that hasn't been tilled yet. It's getting in and saying, you know what, I need to break up this stony place, this hardened place. I can't afford to be resistant in any area to the things God wants to do. I don't know what you do for work, what you've had to do around the house, whether you've ever had to break up stony ground. It's not fun. I remember one of our young adults telling me a few months ago, he was doing landscaping and it sucked. He had to break up rocky ground. When I was a teenager, my dad asked me, hey, could you dig up that old wooden stump in the garden? And as I began to do that, thinking I had quite a good deal, it was the most pocket money I'd ever been offered for a chore. I thought, this is going to be a good payday. Till I began to dig, and it was rocky and stony, and the roots were deep. And it didn't just take me one day or two. 2 weeks later, I still hadn't finished, and I was doing the math. The hourly rate wasn't that great. breaking up rocky ground is not easy. It's not comfortable. It might be painful to begin to dig up that thing in your life. It might be difficult to begin to work on something that maybe is an old scar that you need to work on till it's not a hard place anymore. It might cause a sweat. It might cause discomfort. But the truth is, God wants us to dig up the fallow ground of our life. He wants us to work on the hardened places, bring it before Him, break it up, allow Him access to every part of our heart. Not just 95%, all of it. Even that uncomfortable area. Because that's when God can actually begin to produce a harvest with the seed that He's planting. Maybe you realize the rocky ground is just all the questions you have. You realize that your faith is quite shallow because as soon as you begin to ask a few questions, you don't know if it stands up or not. Maybe you need to pick up the shovel of going to Alpha and begin to ask some questions. Begin to dig a little bit deeper. Understand, oh my goodness, there is an answer to that question. Christians don't just ignore that thing, they have an answer. There's actually reliability to that area. I never knew. To do what you need to do to dig up the hardened places. It might just be doubts because you're not sure. That's totally fine, but don't leave the hardened heart. Dig it up. Bring it before God. I know doing a heart check this morning is like it takes inward reflection. It might be uncomfortable. But the truth is, God wants so much more for us than to leave these bits of our life untouched for weeks, months, years, decades. He wants us to bring it before Him. And Beacon, in 2026, let's be a church that says, God, You can have my whole heart. If it's uncomfortable to surrender, I'm still going to go on the journey. I'm going to let You touch every area of my life. Let the Word of God do what it's designed to do. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, all Scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Ouch. For instruction in righteousness. That the man, that the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Might take a little bit to soften our heart to allow the Word of God to do all of those things. Like it would be nice if the Word of God only just made us feel good. It might feel more pleasant at times. But the Word of God's also here to bring correction to our life. And there's times where we desperately need it. We've got to let the Word of God shape us, shape our hearts. Dig up those things that were hard. Perhaps in the room this morning, as you're doing a heart check, you're going, do I have rocky ground? And you're realizing, I'm not just finding like lots of little rocks. It's almost like I can't find any soil at all. Like my heart's just hardened. Maybe it's the battles of life you've been through, whatever you... You're going, man, I just think I've got a heart of stone right now. I can't even find any soil. I want you to know you're in the right place. God says this prophetically in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart. Put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You'll keep my judgments and do them. Friend, if you're realizing I've got a heart of stone this morning, you've come to the right place because our God is the God of the heart transplant. He'll take your heart of stone and He'll give you a heart of flesh today. A heart that's soft to the things that He wants to do in your life. That can produce a harvest. It's okay if that's you. But no, you don't have to walk out these doors with that heart of stone anymore. Today, you can bring it to the Lord. It's a good day for a heart transplant. The thorny ground. Jesus said, some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. He explained, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they've heard, they go out and they're choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. Last week we heard from Pastor Az about planting two seeds in one field. I think the thorny field is a great picture of that. That, yeah, the seed's going in, but there's thorns there choking it up. I don't want to re-preach that sermon to you this morning. Should be able to listen to it on the podcast this week sometime. But I want to echo, we won't get the harvest if we're continuing to plant two different seeds. The thorns will choke it out. It will lead to the corruption of the harvest. What does that look like? Well, maybe you're trying to plant the seed of stewardship in your finances this year. You know, you're saving, you're being generous, you're sowing that seed of stewardship. But at the same time, it's sowing the seed of going into more credit card debt or using Afterpay and failing with that and going backwards. Or rather than just stewarding, I'm also going to take a gamble on that sports game. It's two seeds. It'll corrupt the harvest. You won't see the harvest that you thought you would have. If that's you today, it's time to ask God to be the gardener again. God, will you do some weeding in my life? Help me to get rid of these thorns. Help me to only sow the right seed. Finally, Jesus teaches us about the good soil. The others, they fell on good ground. It sprang up and it yielded a crop 100-fold. The ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, they keep it and they bear fruit with patience. I love that this story, there's a heart posture, a field that we can aspire to. That we can actually go, you know what? There is a ground, a heart posture that I can have that allows the things of God to be planted and to grow and to multiply. And the harvest is like 100-fold. Like it can multiply in life. It can be a blessing to you, to others. It multiplies. When we've assessed the condition of our heart and realized, I've got good soil. God's word, the seed is planted, will produce a harvest. So how do we know? How do we know we've got the good soil? If we're doing a heart check, how do we know that's where I'm at? Because there's people in this room and this is where you're at. Simple question. Am I doing what the word of God says? Jesus said that the good soil is those that hear it and they keep it. They hear the word of God and they act on it. They hear the word of God and they put action in their life. They begin to be obedient to it. That's how you know it's producing a harvest, because the fruit's evident. It's becoming evident in your life. Maybe you're in the room going, oh, I see that. I see that in my life. Or maybe you're considering this morning as you do your heart check, there's a portion of my life that, yeah, I can see the fruit, but I've got some thorns or I've got some birds or I've got some rocks I need to deal with. This morning, if you discover you've got good soil, you've got a good heart that's producing fruit, I want you to remember what Paul urges us in Galatians chapter 6. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I just feel some of you in the room, you've had good soil for such a long time. Keep going. keep going. In due time, if you don't lose heart, you'll see the harvest. Good soil will produce a harvest. This morning, would you stand across the room? It's time for a heart check today. Maybe you need to close your eyes for this. Bow your heads, whatever you need to do to consider. Where's our heart today? Where's your heart at today? I think if I asked everyone, we'd all want to see a harvest in our life in 2026. We want to see multiplication of the things God gives us. We want to see life and life abundant. We want to see that produced in our life. So would you do a heart check right now? Which of the four fields reflects your heart today in this season? Does your heart look like the wayside? The birds getting in and stealing the things God wants to do from your life? Does your heart look like the rocky ground? Are there some hardened areas that you need to dig up? Do you need to get some depth to your faith again? Maybe you need a total heart transplant. Trade a heart of stone for a heart of flesh. Maybe your heart looks like the thorny ground. Today, it's time to stop planting two seeds, to ask God to do some weeding in your life. Do you have the good soil? And do you need to commit to persevering with patience, enduring, for in due time, you'll see a harvest? I want you to make a resolve right now to take the step, the action that you need to for wherever your heart's at. I want to pray this morning. But the reality of a message like this is it needs to be outworked in your life, because that's what good soil does when we hear from God. Consider, what do I need to do when I leave church today? Who do I need to speak to pray for me? Do I need to come forward for the prayer team? Do I need to get in a prayer meeting or an alpha course or be honest with someone I trust about the issues in my heart so that I can begin to till it up and see God move again? Father, I thank you for Beacon Church, for everyone under the sound of my voice, that 2026 we would begin to see the good soil in our heart. Lord, that if there's anything that we need to deal with, if we need to shoo away some birds that have been stealing the things you've been trying to plant, that we do that today. Lord, would you help us to break up the fallow ground of our hearts? Would you help the seed to be planted deep, to produce roots that would stand the test of time? Lord, would you weed out any thorns? Help us to plant only good seed in our hearts. And just as I close this morning, perhaps you came into church and you've not been walking with God. You've come in and as the Bible describes, because you've never said yes to Jesus, you do have a heart of stone. And you're ready today to actually surrender your old self, to be given a heart transplant this morning, that life and life abundant could come. If that's you, you know who you are in the room. I just want to ask that you'd raise your hand. Wherever you're standing, I'll acknowledge it because I want to pray with you today. We had two young men in the first service make this step and it was transformative. I think I saw that hand, young lady. See, it's not about me seeing, it's about the heart decision you're making right now. If there's anyone else in this room, Father, I thank you for all of us
that the only way we can have good soil is because you've done a work in our heart. You've taken our heart of stone and you've forgiven us. You've given us a heart of flesh. You've forgiven our mistakes. You died and you rose again so that we could be free from them. And today we want to choose to follow you, to plant good seed in good soil. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.